Hi, I'm Chris Johnson with Creation Liberty Evangelism, and what you're about to hear is a show I was invited onto called Project Life Ministries that was hosted by a man named Will Verea, I think is how you pronounce his name. This show I was invited onto to discuss it's supposed to be an atheist discussion. There was a panel of atheists and a panel of Christians. This is what I was told coming into the show, and I was simply invited to join in this discussion with them. I was not sent any kind of rule set or anything for this, and I was very skeptical of it from the beginning because there really wasn't any topic that I was given other than it was just a discussion with atheists. And as you'll hear, the topic of discussion was, what do atheists believe? That topic was not, nobody really stuck with that topic, and when I tried to do so, you'll see where I was basically shunned out of the room, and I ended up leaving before this was over. What you're going to hear on here is a lot of New Age approach to talking with unbelievers, and I'm not going to do a lot of analysis right now. I just wanted to let you guys know a couple things before you listen to this recording, that after this was over, the Christians involved, none of them contacted me. None of them. They made no effort whatsoever to let me know anything that was wrong or discuss anything with me. What they did instead is they immediately banned me from anything and all communication with them whatsoever, refused to talk to me, with me, and then went online later and made a bunch of accusations against me without giving me a chance to defend myself at all or explain myself or without them actually explaining themselves. And in addition to that, they refused to upload this audio that you're about to hear. Now, that already seemed very suspicious to me, that they would not upload the audio to let people listen to it themselves to hear what was actually going on, but they were happy to come on and make accusations without having any evidence to back up their claims. So what I'm doing right now is making this audio available for you to listen to, and if you would like to hear our analysis of it, I mean by our entire church group, we went through and analyzed many of the things that they were talking about and saying and the approaches they were taking to this stuff and how many of them are unbiblical approaches to doing a lot of the things they were doing and a lot of things they were saying, including that the pastors here, we suspect, are not saved based on their salvation testimony, does not hold true to what the Word of God says their salvation testimony is. Again, if you want to hear a lot of the analysis of all that, you go online to creationliberty.com. Click on the audio section on our website and download the study number 44 for the Brains Online Bible Study, and that'll get you more details here. So here's the recording.
The fact that, you know, like I said before, just so long as we're respectful of both parties and that, you know, like I said, the most important thing right now is sharing our testimony, you know, if anything else is our testimony, because, you know, basically, they're gonna testify why they believe in what they believe, which they can't say that they don't believe, because they do. They believe that there is a God, and so there is a belief system there. But so long as we're respectful to one another, we definitely we respect one another, and I didn't have my cup of coffee this morning. Just as long as we respect each other, and at the same time, you know, we don't fight, you know, like just start to fight like as if like it's a, you know, of course there's probably going to be just a little bit of debation, but if we can reduce that, if we could just basically share our testimony and leave it at that, you know, and there's no fighting involved, then definitely that's what we need to do. We need to make sure, at least on our part, we're not fighting. And their part, they definitely need to make sure they're not fighting.
Amen. Yeah, because most I know about them, they love to talk about logic and evolution.
Well, I tell you, it's fine, you know. For most of us here, we talk about logic as well, and it all mixes into the bunch, so.
All right, and we're cutting here once again because I cut out a few minutes of this. It was basically us discussing the different tools on Google Hangouts and how to use them. So now, fast forward a few minutes later, and this is where we're doing the opening prayer.
There might be too much feedback.
Oh no, yeah, I think you said your opening prayer.
Yes. So, yeah.
Oh, I'll do it if you want. That's up to you.
Okay.
All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together today. We ask that you continually bless us as we speak with unbelievers today. The whole point of this is so that we can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask that every word that comes from our mouth and all the meditations of our heart and our mind would be pleasing in your sight, and that we would glorify you in everything we do. We ask that if anyone here that visits with us today would be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, because without that, there's nothing in this world that's worth anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask all that in his name. Amen.
Amen.
And here we have another section that I have skipped over because it was about 8 minutes of waiting on the atheist to come into the room, and they were just chatting about some random stuff, and a lot of it was that the guy Alan that was there, he was starting to give some of this testimony that we are going to hear a lot of in just a moment. So he's going to go back and repeat everything that he's already said prior, that he said, you know, during this time before the atheist got in. We're going to hear that part again later on in this recording. So that's why I went ahead and removed that, so that way nobody would have to sit through all that a second time. So here's the part where the atheists are now coming into the room.
Finally. Oh, I like your hat.
Thank you. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm ready to get this going. I've been waiting for this one for like 3 or 4 weeks now. I think since the last time I talked about this, so I'm ready.
Yeah, I apologize. It's just I have a lot of things to do and I have to change it. Okay. Tonight is the night we're going to be talking about this topic. What do you think is going on? And here we go. But before... can we get the prayer in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, whatever. I was so busy adding everybody here and getting everybody, and I remember Chef, he couldn't get the link. He warned me, I can't get the link. I can't get Google doesn't like me.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Will is a busy man tonight.
Yeah, I wonder what's wrong with Google Plus. Anyway, getting back to business. This topic, this is the first time we're adding it here in Parchline Ministries. Before we discussed it, you all know the rules, and you all agree the rules, correct?
Correct.
Okay, you all agree, so amen. So, I don't have to explain it, but it says it like that. What do atheists do, right? In other words, what do they believe? Of course, we all know they don't believe God exists. You know, that God is a fairy tale. God is, doesn't exist. And most of the time these days, that's all they talk about. I've been watching all of you, debating this against other believers. And I see so many of them battling, and most of them explaining about the evolution of this, and this goes on and on. But tonight is not about that. It's about what do atheists believe? So tonight, it's going to be you guys to explain to me what does it mean about atheism? What do you believe on that? And so, So the floor is going to be open. I'm not going to be discussing this. It's going to be you guys explaining what it means. What does it mean that atheists don't believe? I mean, what?
I'm sorry. Could I ask a question? I'm a little confused. What exactly is the topic? Because if we leave it open ended, this is going to go all over the place. I was just wondering what the specific topic was.
The topic is, what do atheists believe?
Okay.
Did you hear?
Yeah. So the topic is, what do atheists believe? Understood. Okay.
Okay. And that's the topic. What do atheists believe? So tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open open a panel. I'm going to allow one of them to speak. What do they believe? I mean, most of the times there are different people. Atheism. I see some of them discuss others. I see others disagreeing one another with different beliefs about what they believe. Some atheists believe they don't believe in God, but they are curious about God. Some of them, they don't believe God at all. So tonight, I'm going to have one of them discuss it, and then we go from there. And then all of you will go back and forth. But remember, there will be no one stepping over, and well, you know all that stuff. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to pick somebody. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to pick Chef, the atheist chef, who's working that incredible hat. So, you go first, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I just want to start off, I just want to say thank you for inviting me. Thank you for letting us, a couple of atheists come in and, really just share our understanding and what we believe and whatnot. But I do want to point out, atheism, of course, is a belief. There's only one little thing that atheism is about. It's about the God claim. And there's even different atheists out there, some that are anti-theists, and they believe there's no way that God can exist. And I find myself to be more along the lines of an agnostic atheist, as far as I believe it's possible for there to be, God, but I currently have no evidence that would lead me to believe that. But everything else besides that is everything else. So as far as what do we believe, I myself am a secular humanist. I want to promote humanism, the betterment of the world around me, and I do whatever I can. But I just want to point out that the one thing that atheists believe, the one thing that we agree with, is we don't believe in God. And the only way you can be a bad atheist is if you actually believe God exists. So that's about all I got on that.
Okay. And who's next? Does anybody have an input on what Jeff said?
Well, I can chime in here and say that I believe very similarly to that. I think that you start out with there isn't enough evidence, and then some people do make a positive claim. I am, like the atheist chef, not someone who says there is no possibility that there can be a God, and I don't make that positive claim, but I do agree with him, too, that there is no evidence to make that. I also think that based on the humanist point of view, that we all need to work together to make a better planet. And so I think that's the most important thing to focus on, that that religion is not the enemy or anything like that, from my perspective, not from everyone's perspective, but from mine, that we do have to make the world a better place. And so if there's a Habitat for Humanity thing, I am happy to not only rub elbows with, but hug the Christians and not be disrespectful during prayer or anything like that, and not sort of evangelize or dig, those are things. So I think that the sincerity in the way we treat each other is the most important aspect of what we do.
Amen. Cool. Amen. Anybody has input of what he said? Joe?
Come on, Redmond. I know you waited for this.
Oh, what? Just waiting my turn quietly.
Redline?
He's asking for it. Telling you.
Redline, if you want to, go ahead.
All right, yeah, I guess the question is, what do atheists believe? So, being that's my turn, it's what I believe, right?
Correct.
All right, well, I believe in a lot of things. That's kind of a loaded question. Some examples would be plate tectonics, astronomy, fluid dynamics, gravity, solar radiation, bacteria, fusion, fission, that E equals MC squared, carbon dating, dendrochronology, evolution, that you should always take the extended coverage on your rental vehicle, biology, paleontology, magnetism, human language, mathematics, chemistry, physics, the gravity formula, traction, displacement, meteorology, oceanography, rocketry, stem cell research, that the Jersey Shore is a horrible show, speed of light, anti-precept, and that I don't want to go on forever, so I'll stop right there.
All
right, fair enough. That's you. That's you, the one left.
All righty. Basically the same thing as Chef said. It could be all boiled down to one question.
a yes or no to the belief in a god, but I guess my angle is, I would have to say that a lot of, there's a lot of cross-sectional, there's a large demographic of atheists that believe in a lot of the same things, like science and using reason and human rights. I believe that's a big one that parallels us as well. So,
okay. So we all agree in different ways. We believe in God. Okay. Cool. All right. Now we're going to go to the believers. If anybody has to input what they said, whoever wants to go first. And I see Mike is coming in. So he's here. Okay, so guys, whoever wants to, it's your turn to just.
Well, I guess I will state this is that one thing I know about a lot of Christians, unfortunately, is that they judge atheists too much. And they say things like, I've heard actually Christians say, oh, well, atheists are mean, and then the way that they treat Christians, and blah, 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 blah. And, what I tell you this, it's from my point of view, that's not the case. Look at you guys here. One thing that I definitely appreciated what Joe said was that, everybody needs to work together. He believes in people coming together and working together to make a better planet, to therefore, of course, to even make a, to make a better world, I think that's where you're coming from. And that's something that, at least for us, some people don't even like helping one another. And some people are, I know for some of us, including Christians too, that we don't even like sometimes our president or our government or, or anything for that matter. Really, I'm just going to explain to you guys, at least from my point of view, why I believe what I believe. And I'm not going to throw scripture at you guys, I will say this, for me, just to really talk about my story a little bit without elaborating too much, is that, I grew up with a dad that didn't really want to be there for me. I remember I was speaking about this earlier before you guys came in, but when I was a kid, every morning I wanted to at least eat breakfast with my dad because, he would want to go out and go to work like around 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was crazy. He woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, oh gosh, like, man, it frustrated me.
He thinks he's going to convert them with his experiences. My mic's muted, but I know exactly what he's trying to do, and this is not going
to
work.
I wanted to receive that love from, my dad, and yeah, I got it from my mom, but you definitely would, especially if you're like that kind of, you're that person that wants to at least be close to your dad. I know probably some of you, and I don't know all of your lives, if you have parents in your life, but I just wanted a close relationship with my dad. And it was hard not to, because he said to me, oh, I know you want to wake up and spend time with me, but you're wasting my time. And I'm just like, it hurt me. I was 7 years old, and imagine a parent telling you that when you're 7. It killed me so bad. Anyway, years later, growing up in life, my dad just continued to remain the same. And, I talked with my mom and stuff, and she helped me out through a lot of crazy stuff. I know most of us went through relationships, with our boy, either whoever's watching, if it's girls, with their boyfriends, guys with the girlfriends, the drama that goes behind that. And so, you guys know what I'm talking about as far as, relationships, sometimes they can get crazy and stuff. And I just had too many broken hearts, with girlfriends that, at first they said, oh, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they're like, they stab you in the back and they treat you a certain way and things like that. And it really brings me down. Throughout that time, I really did not want to associate with anybody. I was quite antisocial. I mean, try dragging me into a Google Plus Hangout. It just would not happen. Would not happen at all. But, the reason why I'm telling you guys my story here is because, my dad, though he claimed to be a Christian, he definitely did not act like it. He was like, he says, oh, yeah, I go to church and things like that, but he did not want to spend time with me. It was like, what deal is this, Christians are you're called to be, loving and caring towards one another, especially from their, for their kids and just for people in general. And I didn't have that love for my dad, and that hurt me. And though I got a little bit from my mom, but it just, fact is that I grew up with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. And so, my parents would always try to bring me to church. I did not want to go to church at all. I'm like, no, every time I went to church, to be honest with you guys, I fell asleep. I fell asleep, when it comes to some, especially like, not to offend anybody here who attends a Baptist church, but there was a First Baptist church I went to. Preacher was preaching, and I fell asleep on the sermon, and anyway. Fact was is that I said, nah, church is boring and I don't want to get involved and things like that. I got tired of all the hurt and all the pain. Question is, why do I have a Christian tag on my lower third if I'm talking about all these crazy bad stuff that happened in my life? Somebody can go through some bad things in life, but have some good memories with it as well. And that's why we're all living today. We have some good memories, we got some good family, or we got some good friends, or we got some crazy incidents that just make us laugh. But the reason for my Christian tag is because there was, I was wanting to get into a relationship with this one person. And, which, believe it or not, happens to be my wife at the end of the day. And here she was. She was involved in church and stuff like that, but I wasn't, being in it at all. And believe it or not, we broke up because just the fact that, we weren't ready for a relationship had nothing to do with faith. But, after relationship after relationship, I said, I'm tired of broken relationships. I'm tired of my dad. My dad just didn't want to love me and care for me, and he didn't really care for me. So, people keep telling me about coming to church and stuff. I do not like religion, in my mindset. The fact of saying, oh, well, you got to...
For an hour-long show, we are not going to get very far.
...into heaven, and I just got, tired of that whole conversation, like, oh, you're going to go to hell. If you eat pizza, or if you play Call of Duty, or if you shoot people in a video game, you're going to hell. I'm sure most of you probably heard about that. And I'm just like, man, these guys are messed up. Video games are not that way.
I want to show the atheist how cool I am, and that'll bring him to Jesus. I'm sorry to be so sarcastic. I mean, if he is really truly saved Christian, I want to edify my brethren, but this is not how to approach this discussion, and this is not what the atheists were prepared to have to come in to listen to, I can guarantee it. I thought we were going to have a discussion about atheist beliefs, but now here he is giving his personal testimony and thinking that's going to change anything, and it's really not.
And I didn't expect that they were going to bring up the Bible or anything like that. I was just there for the pizza and for the food and, all that good stuff. But then after a while, one thing that I remember that he said was that, God is a father to the fatherless, and that's what caught my attention of it. I'm like, yeah, I'm sort of, like, considered to be fatherless because, just the way my dad was treating me. And all I heard was about all this love that, that God has for me. And it was through him who became Jesus and he died for me. And so, after hearing that and understand and then seeing how the world is and seeing how a life is in general, seeing how, you got atoms and electrons. And one thing I agree with you, atheist chef, how we talked about, and I'm sure I think it was you who said it or someone else about the atoms, or not the atoms, but the believing in science and protons, neutrons, and tech I'm sorry, tongue twister, tectonic plates. And so, I mean, all those stuff, you know, oh, red line, thank you. And so, I wanted to give credit. There you go. But yeah, you know, it was after that experience where I learned how, you know, God, and you guys, of course, have your disagreements on it, but I see how he had created all those things, how the plates change, how, you know, how just the way that the world works, and how the clouds, and just, I really, you know, I remember in the past I got really involved in science. I love science. Even to this very day, I'm very much interested in science, because science really grows. Not only does it grow me and my knowledge, but it also grows my faith in God even more so. But like I said, it was the fact that it was a father to the fatherless. And seeing how God worked through people that are willing to love and care for one another, and to show people that, you know, there's bad people in the world, but there's also people that are good and that they love and care for one another. But again, the whole God theology of it, how is there evidence, what evidence do I have that would cause me to believe in God or in a God? I noticed that when and this is amazing that I'm glad that we're in discussion about this, is just that honestly speaking, and then the reason I'm pausing is that I get emotional about this, because I see, and again, the phone keeps ringing. There's so many people, babe, thank you, pause that phone. Even though some people don't believe that God can speak to you, I actually had an experience where it wasn't in church, it wasn't in a, it was actually, believe it or not, it was hanging out with a bunch of friends. And all of a sudden I said, you know, God, if you really do exist, talk to me and show me who you are. Even if I don't see it or don't believe it, you know, for a week or a month or a year from now, just show me who you are. You know, show me if you really do exist. And I remember that, you know, I literally heard a voice in my ear and to my heart. And, you know, sometimes it's not about him speaking to you through your ear, but it's to your heart. And so he would tell me, he says, you know, I love you and I'm here from you. And I'm like, you love me and you're here for me. And, you know, I remember about experiencing so much hurt. And I said, you know, how come then my father treated me that way? How come people, you know, treated me the way that they do? And one thing I noticed is that there's always going to be bad people out there. And you know, no matter who, everybody in the whole world is going to fail you one way or another. But God will never fail you. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, he did speak to me. That was the first sign. The second sign was that, you know, basically using science to prove that he exists, seeing how the creation is, and basically how the basically how everything that, you know, what we a lot of people don't believe, which is in the Bible, how it shows throughout that book, I call it a history book, on how the earth was created, and how nature is, and how the birds act, and how they react, and a lot about how they form. And I started getting really excited. I said, you know, wow, not only is it, you know, it's not that I'm crazy, but it's also that there's actually historical proof about it. And I thought that was a really exciting journey to go through. And so, you know, the only reason why that I really got focused on it, not in church, not in any other, like, you know, event or anything like that, but it was just that, you know, I see the love in people, and I see the love in God, and how he could reveal yourself if you just ask him. And yeah, it's going to take those even if moments where it's not about maybe hours or a week or a month or a year from now, but is actually trying so hard to say, you know what, I'm going to try and see if this is really true. I'm going to try to see if this is really real and see what the experience is out of it. I tell you this, you know, it's been an exciting journey to see how you know, and God continuously speaks to me, and He continuously talks to people.
Alan, at this point, has already taken up 14 minutes of the 60 minutes that we were allotting for this show. And so at this point, I typed into chat, is this a sermon or a discussion? And this is his response.
And yes, Christopher, this is a discussion. This is a testimony. It's not a sermon. I don't know. It's not a sermon or anything like that. But it's really, I'm just sharing with you guys my experience and why I believe in what I believe. He can speak to you, and He's shown Himself to exist. And it was continuously me trying to put the effort to see if He was really real and if He was really true. And then, He actually did show Himself to me. So, but I'll go ahead and quiet up. I'm sure there's a lot of other Christians who want to speak as well. And I'm sorry for taking up time, but I just wanted to share that experience. Thank you.
So total, he took up 15 minutes. That's 25% of the show time with the speech that he was giving. And if I hadn't said anything in chat, he would have continued on for much longer than this. So that's the reason I felt I was the only one that was going to stand up and speak and say something, so that way we can move the show on. So here we go.
Who's next?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is Mike Plump. As you guys know, I'm pretty sure you probably see me around on YouTube. But to my Christian brothers and sisters, God bless you. To the atheists, welcome. I'm glad that you guys took this time now to come be a part of our discussion here on tonight. Just to brush up, you know, why do I consider myself a Christian? Well, just giving you guys a little background about me. Before I became a Christian, I was actually an agnostic. Did not really care about God, wasn't really sure about the quote-unquote Christian God. Was somebody that was bullied a lot in school, picked on. Someone that just had a lot of raw emotions, somebody that had so much anger within, and even, I guess you could say, hatred. There came a point in my life where I met this girl, you know, it's funny, everybody started talking about, you know, relationships. I actually got into this relationship. I was one who would lust after women. I was what we call ladies' man. I would hop from one girl to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Well, I got this one girl that my friend had hooked me up with, and he is actually an atheist. And yes, to this very day, I'm still friends with him. You know, he hooked me up with this girl, and not knowing she was a Christian, and not knowing that she was going to church every Sunday, she would read the Bible. I would put the phone down and walk away. And as I put the phone down, oddly enough, I still could hear her. I could still hear her, you know, reading these scriptures. But at that time, I didn't really care, I just didn't care. You know, the Bible had no value to me. I didn't care about what it said, had no interest in God. I wanted to live life the way I wanted to live it and not be, you know, told what to do or how to do it, you know. There came a time where I got so depressed. I got so stressed out. I felt so alone. I felt like everybody had abandoned me. And so one day as I was walking my mom to church, you know, oddly enough, I heard this inner voice say, look to your right. And as I looked to my right, there was the church. I walked past this church many times before. Some of you say that's, I think it's epilepsy or something like that, where you hear voices in your head. Well, just so you know, my health records don't indicate any of that. But the thing is that, you know, I know a lot of us Christians, to you atheists, you say, well, how can they hear God? What does God sound like? The voice of God, how I can describe it, is not an audible voice, but it's just something that you feel deep down within. It's like an instinct almost. It's something that you feel deep down within. The thing is that, or schizophrenia, thank you. You know, the thing is that, it's something like you feel, it's like almost an instinct. That's how I describe it. And you know, it's funny because God had revealed Himself to me in that way. I started going to church. God moved in my life, giving my life to Christ. And God showed up in such a powerful way. The anger left.
the depression left, the anxiety left, everything that was wrong, God had fixed. So that then I was still skeptical because you see these pastors on TV, and I seen that you guys, one of you atheists, had posted a YouTube video about speaking in tongues and also about the church. One of you said that you went to a church and the church was a bad experience for you. And I myself have witnessed that. I've been in churches where the pastor would be all about the money. I've been in churches where the pastor would look down upon someone. And just to give you guys an FYI, that's not how God intends his church to be operated. And, you know, so anybody that is here that is atheist or agnostic, or any one of you that have attended a church on behalf of Christians everywhere, I do apologize for their actions. But that is not the way any true man of God or woman of God is supposed to act. And so I'm here to tell you guys on tonight that, you know, God moved in a mighty way in my life. You know, he impacted my life in a great way. From me being agnostic to Christian, it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was something that actually took years. It took about a couple of years for me to actually be firm in my faith and to continue to go into church on a daily basis. So that's just a little bit about my testimony, how God revealed himself in my life and how I got my relationship started. So, amen.
Amen. Who's next? Could be even Christopher or Josh.
Yes, I'll go. I'm like Pastor Allen. I'm a big fan of science. One thing that kind of intrigued me when I was a kid, and still intrigues me to this day, is if you go outside and you look up in the clouds on a clear night, what do you see? You see stars. You might see Big Dipper, Little Dipper. What always intrigued me was, okay, there had to be somebody that made this, because I can't make this on my own. We can't make this on our own. And then, of course, got an invitation with the church and went in, and for 9 years, I studied at a pastor and I listened to sermons every week. Well, it wasn't until one night I was down in, I don't know if you guys are from, some of you guys here in the South, you're familiar with the Atlanta, Georgia area. I went to a church down there called Woodstock First Baptist. And when I went in, it wasn't a preaching, it was actually a concert. And the guy that was singing, they were singing the hymn, "How Great Thou Art," but they gave it a contemporary twist, which sounds a lot better, I hate to say this about a Baptist, but it sounds a lot better than just a piano and an organ playing. Yeah. I mean, how boring is that when you hear a piano and organ playing this? But I heard that, and I was watching a video screen. I saw on the video, the background, it was an image of Jesus, and he was on the cross. Here was my thought. If I died tonight, would I be sure that I was going to go to heaven, or would I go to hell? Well, obviously, we've all heard, you don't want to go to hell, but as hell is a bad place, hell, fire, brimstone, yada, yada, yada. We heard that from all kinds of packing preachers, from everybody and their brother. Well, something came over me, and that something was the Holy Spirit, and when he came on me, it was just like, you know, all the weight in the world had been lifted off of me. And when I came to know Christ, he changed my life, and he changed my life dramatically. Now, am I perfect? No. Are any of us in this room perfect? No. But nonetheless, I also agree, yeah, we can make the world a better place. And, I mean, I don't like debates. I hate debates. I would rather discuss. But, you know, when it said in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, when it said, for God so loved, that's true, at least for me. And I felt that in my heart, and I felt that in my spirit. It was that love that I got from my Heavenly Father. And nothing will ever take that away from me. And, you know, and for you guys on the platform or for you guys in this room, if God begins to deal with you tonight, please respond to that. Please respond to the Holy Spirit. But real quick, and we can move on to something else. I do have one question, and it's kind of been burning at me to ask this for a while. I don't know if you guys have seen on Facebook, they had a picture from the 9/11 Memorial Museum with the steel beam cross that they had. Well, the agents groups wanting to take it down, the Christian groups wanting to keep it up. Here's my question, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but if you guys say you don't believe in God, why do you get so offended when we bring God up? That's my question, and I'm asking that very nicely. So I'm gonna let Christopher talk, and then if possible, I'd like an answer to that. If we can have it on this program, then if not, that's fine. But Christopher, I'm gonna let you talk, buddy.
Okay, Will, I have to ask you a question first before I talk. Are you absolutely sure you want me to talk right now? Because I think I'm going to make upset about every person in the room. Are you sure? They're not going to be happy.
Before you do, let's the judge ask a question about what he said. So I want to let whoever wants to return about the. Okay, I'm gonna allow to get a response from them what Josh said. So about the what you said before, Josh, about the question.
The question was, and it was relating, and again, I saw this from the 9/11 Memorial Museum in New York. There's actually a Facebook post, a picture. It was a steel cross that they had gotten out of the towers. The question was, again, the atheists want to take it down, the Christians don't. Why is it that you guys, the atheists, I'm not saying all atheists, I'm not saying any particular person, I'm just saying atheists in general, when they get offended at, they say they don't believe in God, but yet whenever we bring up God and talk about God, they get offended. If you guys care to elaborate a little bit on that.
I can share a little bit about, I can only share my perspective. There's a whole spectrum of different opinions on the thing. I don't think it's all that important myself, but I know that there are some who are very passionate about the desire to keep public displays and governmental displays in any way, shape, or form that bias themselves toward a particular religion from the perspective of those people down. I think this is true too. If an atheist community wanted to put up a devil statue in the town square or whatever, then there might be some offense in the Christian community. Maybe you wouldn't have a problem with it. But all that to say, there are people who consider that topic very important and pursue it with passion and all that. I don't happen to be one of them. I think we have bigger fish to fry. What may be important, there's plenty of other more important things. So I don't really take those topics up with any passion. I think it's wasted energy.
See, I kind of have to agree with you on that issue as well. I do believe there is bigger fish that we can rather than some statue out there. But again, yeah, I take agreement with the latter part of your statement.
And for myself personally,
I was trying to read the, these any relevant articles about this, because I was curious where they were putting it up, what was going on around it, what was the point of it, etc. Being that it's just a 9/11 memorial and it's a cross that they found from inside the building, I think the artifact itself is a really cool thing that they should keep in there for the 9/11 memorial. I think it's absolutely, I really don't quite see the presence of actually putting or trying to take it down. It's not like it's a government institution. We've talked about that, with the Ten Commandments being in front of a courthouse or whatever. That's different than a cross at a memorial. I mean, I believe that, many of these people were Christians, and this is a tribute to them. It's important to their faith, important to their religion, in my form of religion. I don't get why atheists would want to take it out. I may be missing part of the story. But I want to address the part about it being offended by it specifically. I think that when an atheist sees a Christian symbol, like let's say at a courthouse, it's not being offended by it. It's by the fact that we have the Constitution, which has, called for a separation of church from state. And if we allowed for that to continue to go on, then it would be a violation of our civil rights. But again, first part of the 9/11 memorial thing, I think that's ridiculous. But no, we don't get offended. Just because we don't agree with it, and we may try and get this put down, it's not offended by it.
I have the same sentiment. I could really care less if we have In God We Trust on our money. And I can also really care less if they keep that memorial up. But the only time I would actually get offended is when people start trying to exempt themselves simply because they're a Christian from the rules that they're putting on other people of other faiths or lack of faiths. You are basically saying that because you are a Christian, you have this free pass, and it basically promotes the sense of bias. That's the only time I would get offended, when you're actively promoting the sense of bias, that we're able to do one thing that you are simply not able to do. We are more than welcome to put a cross up, like, for example, in a courthouse, but we can't resurrect the statue of the flying spaghetti monster. That's basically what it is. So, we can all abide by the same rules. If we're going to take down the flying spaghetti monster, fine, I can understand that. But take down your cross as well. That happens to be right next to it. And then we're even. Even is even. And then there's no problems.
Anybody else has anything to say about that?
But the only thing I can say is I think that American Atheist's stance on the 9/11 cross isn't necessarily about atheism versus theism. I think it's more of a civil rights issue, and I think one of the stances that they're trying to take is sort of standing in for the Jewish Americans or the Indian Americans or any other religions that were victims of 9/11. As far as the location, as long as they move it either to the, I don't even know where it is right now, but if I think they moved it to the backyard of a church nearby. But that's pretty much where I think American atheists' motives are with 9/11 cross.
Does anybody have any
input?
Oh, go ahead. Josh.
I was going to actually say, thank you for your guys' inputs on that.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay. I know Christopher wants to say. Christopher, you want to say something? You may say something if you want.
Okay. I just wonder if I had your permission. Is anybody getting any feedback from this? Really? I mean, just only speak up if you are.
No, we only get it when.
We only get when you talk. Do you have any headphones by any chance?
It's only when we can hear ourselves coming through. It's terrible static. But as long as we all shut up when you talk, then we're fine.
Yeah. If you have any headphones, use them. That's what I use, and I believe that's what Jeff uses. It pretty much eliminates the feedback completely.
Is this better?
Let's see. Testing. Yeah, much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I fixed the problem. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. Well, first of all, I want to say my name is Chris Johnson. I'm the founder of Creation Liberty. com. Basically, it's creation and evangelism, what we do. I have to apologize. I'm going to be kind of blunt here. Now, listen, for those of you who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you're my Christian brethren. I want to edify and love you, but I got to tell the truth here, okay? Because I really feel like we have wasted about 40 minutes here. We came to this discussion to talk about the subject of, at least at the start, what was it you said? It was what do atheists believe? I don't think we've really covered much on that because, I mean, all of us understand that atheists, you know, they don't believe in God. And the atheists knew that. We knew that coming into this. That was kind of a given. But then what we're hearing now is a lot of people giving their testimonies. Well, number one, testimonies don't save people. I'm not saying that because that's my opinion. I'm saying that because that's the Word of God. The Word of God says that testimonies don't save people. Experiences don't save people. Feelings don't save people, okay? And none of these guys in this panel are going to be saved this evening, okay? Not by any of those things. The Bible says in Galatians 3:24 that it tells us exactly how people are saved. It says, it says, before faith came, we were shut up under the law. And then it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that might be justified by faith. See, it's by the hearing of God's law and understanding our guilt before Him, and then we repent. And that's how we come to Jesus Christ, excuse me. But so none of these things are going to do anything. And a lot of these guys, I'm sure, are whispering back and forth and just having conversations amongst themselves because they were probably pretty bored with what they were hearing because we came here to hear a discussion. And I apologize if that's offending anyone, but that's the bottom line. I mean, we can't, you know, just Alan was in there saying, you know, we got to come together and work together and all this. But my Bible says that we're supposed to sanctify ourselves. Sanctification means separation. And Jesus Christ said, think not that I came to bring peace. I came to bring division. He says that in Luke chapter 12. And so here we also have where Jesus said that, you know, he said also in Hebrews chapter 13 that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. So he suffered and died on the cross so we would be separated to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. So what I wanted to make a statement, and I'm not going to give any testimony or anything like that. I just wanted to let the atheists know that my position is that without the Christian God of the Bible, you can't prove anything at all. That the atheist position has no basis for logic, for science, for math. They can't even justify these things to exist in the atheist universe. The atheist universe has no reason to reason, other than the hopelessly circular argument that I reason my reason is reasonable. So, I mean, for the atheist, I would simply ask, on what basis do you claim that you can know anything at all? And
may I take this, guys? All right.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I can take this. I'm known for doing what's known as a wiggle argument. It is a rebuttal to the presuppositional apologetics, which is what you're doing. How do you know anything? How do you know it? How do you know you're not a brain in the bath? I assume these are questions that you're going to know. We know stuff based on self-attesting truths, and such as, I know I exist. And that is basically one thing that we know for sure. So we can start from a baseline of self-attesting truths, because you can't reason out of it. Self-attesting truths don't actually need to be reasoned with. And with that, we can build a foundation, and we can build a structure that makes a most accurate model of the reality we find ourselves in. Now, it doesn't matter that the reality could be brain of that or whatever. It's the reality that we perceive. And since you are actually discussing with me right now, you are sharing in my perceived universe. And being that we are sharing this in this universe, it is pretty easy to conclude that in this universe, we can know stuff without divine intervention or by the result of a divine order.
Okay, and how do you justify that that's true? You just said there's self-attesting truths, and all that tells me is that it's true, just accept it and don't question it.
The same way you are so sure, I should say, about your God, through the impossibility of the contrary, except I can actually prove that my position, it has an impossibility of the contrary, while yours cannot. You have to go based on the assertion, based on the assumptions made in the Bible, that everyone knows that God exists.
Okay, so you're saying, well, yes, I do start with a presupposition, I start by faith. And I will attest that you do as well. So let's hear your proof then, if that's the case.
All right, good, because the way that you go on this is that, you know, just like in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, that God's word be true and every man a liar. But when it comes to self-attesting truths, you can't actually get out of it. I know I exist because of the simple fact that I wouldn't be able to have this discussion. I wouldn't be able to have these experiences without first having existing. God, you first have to go one step before that, going on the self-attesting truths that you exist. So before you make any knowledge claim, you aren't actually borrowing from my world.
No, not at all. That actually, what you said did not even make sense whatsoever. You said, I know I exist. And how do you know you exist? Because I exist. You're starting with your own existence without verifying it first. You've skipped a step.
I qualified at the beginning because self-attesting truths don't actually need to be reasonable. They're axiomatic statements that are true by definition.
Would you define axiom for everybody here so they can understand what you're talking about?
Basically, it's true on its own merits.
So basically, you have truth because it's true. You have knowledge because you have knowledge. That's no different than a five-year-old childish argument. I can't accept that.
It's basically like what I said previously. It's a self-attesting truth. You cannot reason against it. And in fact, if you have a counter-argument to self-attesting truths, I would like to hear it. Because the ultimate proof is the impossibility of the contrary.
Okay, well then I would ask you a question in order to demonstrate that. How do you know you did not come into existence 10 seconds ago with all your memories and thoughts implanted into your head?
I don't. I never made that claim.
Exactly. You don't even know that you exist right now, but yet you're making claims to knowledge as if you do.
No,
you're presupposing by faith that you have knowledge.
Nope, I know that I exist right now.
Okay, and you have not yet explained how you know that. You just said it's self-attesting. It's just true because it's true.
Yeah, the same way you're so sure about your God.
But you told us just a moment ago that you could prove that, and I'm waiting for your proof.
Yeah, that is the proof to the impossibility of the contrary.
No, that's not a proof. That's a possibility of contrary because it is. There is a contrary. I just stated it. The contrary is that you don't actually exist. The contrary is that you didn't exist 5 seconds ago. See, but you believe. But you believe that you did. You're making the claim that you exist, but you still haven't proven it yet. You're just saying, I do because I do. And I'm sorry, that's hopelessly circular. I can't accept that.
Now, when I said that it is an impossibility contrary, I meant that as internally. I can't prove it to you. For all I know is that you could be a solipsist, and we're all figments of your imagination. You can prove that to me, which you won't be able to do. This is all internal.
Actually, I can. But you're saying, oh, Chris, you can't do that. But you haven't even asked me if I can yet.
To see you. All right, let's try this then. Here's my first question. Disprove a self-attesting truth such as I exist. Disprove it.
No. You're arguing from a universal negative. You can't do that. You see, if I were to tell you prove that God doesn't exist, you wouldn't do that because that's arguing from a universal negative.
Well,
nobody can say there are no arguments of the existence of God, you know.
Right,
you can't come from that.
I could actually do that. Do you actually believe in a God that asserts that we all know that God exists?
Say that again, because I'm sorry, somebody else wanted...
I just wanted to say I like turtles.
Yeah, you like turtles.
Okay.
Turtles.
Say it slower, and if I'm sorry, I don't want to be absorbing all the time here if somebody wants to jump in, but go ahead.
Yeah, do you believe in the God that asserts that we all know that he exists, regardless of what we say?
That asserts... Define what you mean by asserting something to be true.
Part, there is no God. Is that the God that you believe in? That do you believe in the God as depicted in the Bible? As far as we all know that God exists.
I believe in the Christian God of the Bible as depicted in the Bible.
Okay, so but is of your version of the Bible, because many people sometimes pick and choose. I just want to make sure I'm not strawmanning you. Do you believe in the version of the book that asserts that we all know that God exists? Regardless if we're atheist, agnostic, whatever, we all know that God exists.
Well, I just want to make sure I'm answering your question properly. Sorry, I'm thinking back to Scripture. I would say yes. I do believe in a God.
Okay.
The truth is that you all know the very God I'm talking about, but openly deny his existence.
Okay. So we deny his existence, but basically you're asserting that we know for a fact he exists. Correct?
Yes. By your use of logic and reason, yes.
Okay.
You're
so
assuming my worldview in order to use those.
By that is an assertion that God is making on me, because, you know, God being universal and all. And by God's very own definition, he cannot tell a lie, correct?
That's right, he cannot tell a lie.
Then that would make him self-contradictory, because he is lying about me.
That's correct. God is not a man that he can lie, the Bible says.
Well, yeah, but I just said that would basically make him a liar, because he's lying about me.
No.
So you would have to explain that contradiction.
There's a difference here. Now, what you're saying is, you're saying, well, he's lying about me. Is it possible that you can self-deceive yourself?
No.
It's not possible. You have absolute knowledge that you are not deceived.
That's correct.
Now, I'd like to know. This is good. I have never had an atheist say this.
Hold on one second, Christopher. I'm Adam.
Okay. Hey, Christopher, we've been trying to at least step in, and of course, Philip. I get what you mean. We definitely need other people to step in. I will say this, as a Christian, that the Bible, at least from what my Bible's telling me, that there is power in the testimony, and we don't want to say one part of the Bible yet eliminate other parts of the Bible. It's just like what Redline was saying. You know, there's some people who believe in a portion of the Bible, and some people who count the whole. Actually, I know you even said that, Redline. You said that it was that there's some people who only count portions of the Bible. But one thing that I definitely want to have us recognize is that there is power in testimony.
Is this the topic of tonight's discussion? I'm sorry, because we're really getting off topic here.
The atheists to explain why they believe in what they believe. With the main discussion, we're explaining why we believe in what we believe.
Yes, and you were interrupting him in order to explain more about what the Bible says about testimony, and that's why I'm confused. Are we going to stay on topic, or are we going off to a different subject?
I think we all agree that presuppositionalism is not the way that we wanted to go tonight. I mean, it's fantastic mental chewing gum, but like when we're trying to deal with this, we're only getting so far.
Well, listen, I can go ahead and leave because I'm not going to let a guy stand here and claim he has knowledge when he doesn't, okay, and lie to everybody about that. I'm not going to do it, so you guys can do that, and I can take off if you'd like.
Christopher, talk to you later.
Then. Hey, and I would love to have you come on our show and talk more about this if you'd ever be willing.
By all means.
I found you fascinating, actually. I've never heard an atheist give that answer before, so I'd love to continue that.
By all means.
Okay, can you go to creationliber.com? You go to contact section, contact me, send me your information, and I'd love to talk to you more.
No problem. Talk to you in a bit.
All right, it was good talking to you. Bye-bye.
And that's it. Again, Will did not, the host and the pastors got together after this and said that they were refusing to put this information online so that people could hear it. They then accused me of doing a bunch of wrong, banned me from everything, and then refused to talk to me at all or tell me these things. I had to go do research and find this stuff out on my own because they refused to speak with me. If you would like to hear our Bible study analysis called Rebuking New Age Churches, you just go onto our website at creationliberty.com. Click on audio, go down to Brian's Online Bible Study number 44, download that, and you can get more information there. And this final recording that you're going to hear, I decided to add on, was the host of the show, Will, went ahead and made what I just mentioned a moment ago, the accusations that he was making. He went ahead and made about a 10-minute video in which he accused me of doing a bunch of wrong, but he was very vague, never mentioning anything specific about what he was talking about, and so I'm going to add that on to the end of this so you can hear those accusations as well. Again, if you want to hear any of the analysis of this, just go download the audio I just mentioned, and here we go.
Hey everyone, I'm the host of Project Life Ministry. My name is Will Bidella. The reason I'm making this video to everyone, I would like to, my tongue was sticking. I would like to apologize to the Christian community and the atheist community for what happened yesterday on Friday, June 13, 2014. From yesterday, I would like to apologize to all of you. It should have not happened. I know there was supposed to be a moderation there to moderate about, you know, in case if there is a people stepping over somebody, or whether, or if there was disrespectful or whatever reason, just like it says in the policy that's been put out there. Unfortunately, I didn't do my job, and I'm not accusing anybody. The responsibility is mine and mine alone, because I am the host of Project Line Ministries, and I should have muted the individual who was causing this to happen. Everything at the beginning, everything was so peaceful, everything was great. The topics, you know, we were discussing was, you know, we were in both sides, we were showing respect. Until I gave the microphone to this individual. I'm not going to say names, but, you know, you all know who I'm talking about. But I'm not going to say names for the respect. But this individual went a little bit too far. It's not supposed to be a debate, debating like that. It shouldn't happen that way anyway. And most of the moderators were responsible, but the true matter is I am responsible. So I am responsible because I am the host of Project Line Ministry. So I would like to apologize to the Christian community, and I also like to apologize to the atheist community as well. It should not happen, and it will never happen again. We will be very careful in the near future to, if something happens like that again, we'll mute that person or even kick that person out. Those rules were broken, and I shouldn't have even muted that person or kicked that person out immediately. It's been warned once or twice, and it was totally chaos. It was in call for. It was unacceptable what happened of the individual, of the behavior, what happened. So I'm not saying, you know, I know we need to spread the gospel. I know we need to get the word out, but not in that format. And it is really unacceptable. So again, I'm not blaming the other believers, even so that, you know, we did have a meeting, and because we, even so, there was discussion of it, but the true matter is that I am responsible of that, of Project Line Ministry. I am the one, I should have stopped it. And I should have a long time ago gave others the power to mute and to kick person out. But unfortunately, we all should have been on the same page, but I guess everything was messed up. So anyway, I hold full responsibility of that, and I apologize for what happened yesterday. And unfortunately, because of that, because I wasn't sure if the YouTube, because it's been recorded on Google Plus on air and YouTube, I was really don't know if that video can be edited. One of the believers said that once it's recorded, it cannot be recorded. It's been destroyed. I don't know that, because YouTube is always updating things that sometimes we don't even know about. So who knows? Maybe it could have been edited, or it could have been recorded in a different way, and the audio recording or whatever, and it could have been updated or edited, but unfortunately the video has been deleted. So that, you know, it's done. But other than that, I apologize for inconvenience and everything that happened yesterday to the Christian community and to the atheist community. Because of this, I will, for a time being, will put Patrick Ministry on hold, or I will allow other believers to do Patrick Ministry on my absence. I will be absent. Right now, I will not be available on Patrick Ministries. Like I said, I'm not giving up my ministry. I'm not walking away from the ministry. I am going to start making videos on my account. I am going to start making videos for the other ministries as well. But as for now, I will be putting Project Life Ministry on hold, or other believers will be using Project Life Ministries. I need to concentrate what I need to do for the future to invite atheists and Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and others to the Project Life Ministries, but without any incident or anything, and to have a better moderation to moderate. So until then, even if there is brothers and sisters in Christ available to do Project Life Ministry, they're welcome to do it. Like I said, I'm still the, I guess you can call it, a CEO of Project Life Ministries, but I, for time being, I am not going to be a hosting Project Life Ministry, at least for a while. Like I said, I'm not quitting. I'm not walking away. I'm not, I will come back, but I will not be hosting Project Life Ministry, at least for a while. And again, even so, I said it so many times that this will be the last time I'll be saying it. Again, I apologize to the Christian community and the atheist community for everything what happened yesterday. And as for the individual, just to let you know, that individual who, what he did, was banned from Project Life Ministry and all the ministries as well. And just to let you know. So until then, thank you for listening. And this is the host of Project Life Ministry. My name is Will Bidea. And until next time, I will be starting, hopefully, making videos or audio voice videos. I mean, audio recordings and a lot of things for the near future. And thank you, everyone, for listening. You all be blessed. I'm assuming everybody is listening. I think there's two people watching. But yeah, thank you, everyone, and God bless you all, and see you soon. You all be blessed.